I'll put it on in the big minute. It'll carry. I want to thank Rabin and Yaakov Geffner, who sponsored this evening's shir, Lili Nishmas, Rabin's father, Rabbi Chaim Leib and Yitzchak. I want to thank Leah and Sam Levy, who sponsored this shir in honor of their children and grandchildren. And I thank Laurie and Barry Frank, who sponsored this shir in memory of their mothers, Chava, Sarah, Bas, Tzvi, Halevi, and Devorah, Bas, Aaron. And of course, I'm very grateful to the Adult Ed Committee for organizing this evening, and most of all, to Rabbi Schechter for once again coming and giving us one of the very anticipated evenings of our year, and that is to hear a shir from Rabbi Schechter this evening. When I was thinking about our speaker this evening, Gemara came to mind, the Gemara that many of you have studied in Daf recently, and that's Daf Yud Dalet. Amud Aleph. There the Gemara says that when the Sanhedrin gave smicha to Rabbi Zeira, so the friends of Rabbi Zeira had a song. Shorule, they sang to him, like a chal v'le shrak v'le pirkus, v'yal aschein, that Rabbi Zeira didn't have any cosmetics, didn't have eyeshadow, didn't have rouge, didn't have any hair dye, didn't need any of the trappings that sometimes other people need. And nevertheless, Vayalas Chayin radiates grace. When I think about the Shiurim and the Torah, Rabbi Schechter, that's what comes to mind. It's pure, Torah. It is unadulterated, and it is the passion and the clarity and the dedication which Rav Schachter teaches that Siyah L'Shein, that has his Torah and his presence, gives us so much grace. And in a context, in a world where Torah is always taught through with sound bites and with jokes and stories, sometimes you forget the magnificence of a shir when it's Torah mitchilas ve'ad sofa. And that's one of the great gifts that our guest has this evening, to be so attuned to Chazal and to the message of the Ribono Shel Olam, that his Torah is lo shrak lo kechal, but the yal aschei. This great kavod I present to Rav Schachter.
Brishus Rabbi Neuberger, thank you very much, as always, for your generosity and your graciousness in your introduction. Very grateful. It's an honor to be here. It's an honor to be standing in a place that you grace with such extraordinary distinction and have for so many years, and gives me an opportunity on behalf of our family to thank you, to be Marker Tov to you for all that you do for the members of our Mishpacha, in addition to this entire Kehillah and your, by now, probably thousands and thousands of Talmidim. I want to thank Rabbi Aaron Ross for inviting me to come back, and particularly Bereshus Rabbi Neuberger, especially this year I have a particular Hakaras HaTov. Because I hope you don't remember, but I actually do remember that last year I made a really foolish mistake. I pronounced a word wrong. I don't know exactly what happened to me, but nichnas bi ruach shtus, and I said a word differently than I should have said it. And I was actually afraid that my regretful amaratzis would have disqualified me from being invited to come back again. So in particular, Rabbi Neuberger, who was very gracious, who at some point said to me, it's a mistake that your sixth grade Rebbe should have been able to correct. So I am duly chastised, deeply and duly chastised. So the fact that I'm allowed to come back is for me a special simcha. So I thank you very, very much. In the past years, I've given different kinds of presentations. Generally, they have been the first six or seven or eight, I think I'm holding by 10 or 11 now, have been about the history of halacha, me'inyana d'yoma, about sitting in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, about putting on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, about Shmona Psukim Sheba Torah Yachid Koreosam, about the history of the last eight psukim in the Torah. Last year was a lamda shishir. And this year I decided I would try something different, and that is I would talk about the importance of shalom in halacha and in agada. I thought that shalom bechlal is relevant. We could always use a little bit more shalom in Klal Yisrael. And then when the topic went out, title was announced on the Beth Abraham website or listserv. So my son-in-law, Rabbi Jonathan Knapp, immediately sent back a great title. And he said, Sukkah Shalom, Sukkah Shalom. And it just simply didn't occur to me that there's actually a particular connection between Sukkah and Shalom. And I began to think about what is the connection between Sukkah and Shalom. First, Olenu Sukkah Shalom Becha, it's a bracha that we say in Ma'ariv on Leil Shabbos. But of course, it's not only a bracha that we say in Ma'ariv on Leil Shabbos, we say it in Ma'ariv every single Ma'ariv. The beginning of Hashkivenu, Hashem Elokeinu l'shalom, v'amidenu malkeinu l'chayim, ufros aleinu, sukkah shalomecha. We say it on a simple weeknight. We refer to Sukkot as having a particular connection to Shalom. And there's a lot of raid, there's a lot of discussion about what's the connection. And I'll just leave you with one that occurred to me, but this by no means fulfills the obligation to try to understand it fully. It's a machlekes whether you could be yotzei with somebody else's sukkah. So we know when it comes to the first day of Sukkot, lekachtem lochem, lochem is by arba minim, it has to be lochem. But on Sukkot, we paskin for a sukkah that you can go with somebody else's sukkah. It's a machlekes in the Gemara, in sukkah chav chesam et beiz. The Chachamim omrim, afal pisha omru, ein odom yotze yedei chavoso biyom tov arishon bilulavo shel chavero, avo yotze yedei chavoso bisukoso shel chavero dechsiv, famous pasuk, kolo ezrach bi Yisrael, yeshu basukas malamit shekol Yisrael ru'uyim leishev basukah achas. So if you conjure up the image, kol Yisrael ru'uyim leishev basukah achas, so clearly that's something that fosters and reflect Shalom, that we're all in the exact same space. And so there's a connection between Sukkah and Shalom. What I would like to do is to look at the issue of Shalom from four different perspectives. Shalom, first individual, every yachid, every individual, what does it mean to be b'shalom? Second of all, ben adam lachavero, not just ben adam la'atzmo, but ben adam lachavero. The third is within Klal Yisrael, within the larger Jewish community, not just a member of our family or a smaller concentric circle, but the largest circle of Klal Yisrael. And if we have time, a little bit at the end, about Ben Yisrael La'amen, the issue of Shalom between Jews and non-Jews. Now, I want to begin the first, the issue about individual sense of Shalom, with a tshuva that I discovered in the Emek Halacha Chelek Aleph by Rabbi Yehoshua Baumel. Rabbi Baumel is a rabbi in Brooklyn. He died in 1948. I came to this tshuva because his grandson, Zolzayin Gesund, is Dr. Norman Lamb, and an article that Dr. Lamb published in a volume that I edited in memory of Rabbi Dr. Leo Young, Dr. Lamb refers to this tshuva of his Zayda. So that's how I got to this tshuva, and I want to begin with this tshuva. It's in Simon Membeis, Chelik Aleph, Emek Halacha, Rabbi Yehoshua Baumel. Kvod Yedidi Ayokam Ar Bezalel Brandis, Neri Yor, Menahel HaTalmud Torah, Depot, Brooklyn. So he has a tshuva to somebody who is a menahel of a Talmud Torah here in Brooklyn. Here's the story. It's a fascinating story. Al Dvar She'eloso, Be'echot She'enod Armei Adalar LaTalmud Torah, Be'im b'no yashuv mehamilchama b'shalom. So this Talmud Torah that's being run by the menahel is Mr. Mar Brandis. Somebody made a neder that if my son comes back b'shalom, I'm going to give the Talmud Torah tzedaka $100. Now, we don't know exactly what the circumstances are. The volume that I have of the Emek Halacha was published in 1976, but it says on the title page that the first, the cover page was first issue was in New York, Tafresh Tzadi Dalid. Tafresh Tzadi Dalid is 1934. Originally, I thought it had to do with World War II. The kid got drafted. The father got nervous. He's going overseas. So I'm not sure exactly, Gnoy, what the war is here that he's talking about, but you understand the sentiment. My son is going to war, and if he comes back, mehamelchama b'shalom, I'm going to give $100. Nu, Nebuch, what happened? V'yato, the good news is, v'yato shav b'no bori v'chazak, he came back hale and hearty, wonderful. Ulam l'da'avon aviv, hevi ito isha nochris, shenosa b'tzorfas, v'gam yelet sheyoldalo. He comes back, he's healthy, he wasn't wounded, he wasn't injured, but of Tzalachas Nebuch HaBroch, he comes back intermarried with a shiksa, with a shegitz for a son, with a child. What's the issue? V'toyen Aviv, she'eno m'chuyiv l'shalem nidro, ya'an shelo nadar rakim yovo b'shalom. But v'zeh eno b'shalom, ki l'shalom heina marlo, she'nos ha'nachas. What kind of shalom is this? He won't b'shalom? So Gevar Finster and Dayton Nebuch, he comes home with the shiksa. That's not called coming home b'shalom. So the father tain is, I made a neder if he comes home b'shalom. He didn't come home b'shalom. This is not called b'shalom. So I'm off the hook. I don't have to pay. V'alzeh sho'el kvodo, but Mr. Brandis has a negius because he's the menial of the Talmud Torah. And by M. Gaitan, the $100, whether it was 1934 or 1976, $100 is $100. So he's not ready to just be macabled gzeira from the father who says, I'm not paying. So he goes to the Rav. Or Ulai, but maybe the other option is, Kivin Shehu Shalem Begufo, Ze Mikri Bisholom. What was the father say? If he comes home, b'shalom. So probably what he meant was if he comes home in one piece. He came home physically in one piece. Ad kan she'ela, so that's the question. So the first issue I want to address is what defines person shalom. This is not the opposite of fighting. This is not the opposite of war. What does it mean for a person to be b'shalom? So, Fados Dafen Vissen, a Mishnah in Maseches Tevul Yom. So, some of you heard of Maseches Tevul Yom, some Mamisha Masechta in Shas. It's called Tevul Yom. It's like Subis and Brachas and Sukkah. And it's Favar from all the way in the back, so we don't really get to it. There's no Gemara on Tevul Yom. But it's a Mishnah, Rabbi Baumel, within a stroke of a genius. Ein Gefal in a Mishnah at the end of the fourth perek in Maseches Tevul Yom. You have the Mishnah on the top left-hand side. I hope everybody has a sheet. There's still some extra sheets. Zot the Mishnah at the end of the fourth perek in Maseches Tevul Yom. What's a Tevul Yom? A Tevul Yom is a person who was Tamei. It's actually also Shayach Fekalim, but let's talk about a person. Person who was Tamei and goes to the mikveh as part of the Tahara process and goes to the mikveh during the day. And now we're in between the time in the morning or in the afternoon when he went to the mikveh and nightfall. So there is this intermediate stage where some aspects of Tumah have been removed, some of the implications of Tumah have been removed, but certain vestiges of Tumah remain until nightfall. So we're now in this intermediate stage. That person who is in that day at that time is called a Tevul Yom. In other words, he did the Tevilah, but it's still Yom, so he's kind of a Nishtahin and Nishtaher kind of a status. So one thing leads to another, and now we come to the Mishnah, the end of the fourth parak in Tevul Yom. HaTorei Mesabor. Somebody has a bor. The bor is full of, let's say, wine. We could also say oil, but we'll say wine. So there's a cistern full of wine. And now the person wants to take Truma from this cistern. And he puts in a bucket, and the bucket collects rain, and now he's ready to take the bucket up from the well, from the cistern. Hatarim esabor v'amar, harei zu truma, almenas shetale bishalo. I want what's in the bucket to be truma, on the condition that it comes up bishalo. If it comes up b'shalom, then it will be truma. What is in the bucket is truma. And I'm mekayim my chiyuv of truma, and it will take care of whatever else is the rest, what's in the cistern. Paskin the Mishnah, Tana Kama. Shalom min hashever umin hashvicha. You assume that he meant that it should be whole from not being broken and not spilling. Nothing should spill out. That if it's broken and it spills out, and it's truma, if it is truma and the bucket gets broken or the bucket spills out, then we have a huge problem. It's called medama, mem dalad mem ayin, because truma falls into non-truma unless it's bottled by 100, then the whole thing you can't eat. The truma now, the status of truma is now transferred to the whole thing. That's going to be a brach for him because he's not going to be able to have anah from the rest of the cistern. So he says, it's not stamazai, it's truma, because if it's truma and then it breaks or it spills, he's in big trouble. So he says, it's only going to be truma And we, unless it comes up b'shalom, if it comes up b'shalom, well, we're assuming, paskin to Tanakama, that what he has in mind, and the halacha is, that it has to come up b'shalom from shever or from shficha. Avalom in atumba. Let's say on the way up, ein gefallen, fold me chagan, figure out how it happened, that something fell in a mice, it became tameh. It became tameh. Is it truma or is it not truma? Now, if truma tameya is problematic, because truma tameya has to be burnt. Okay? So the truma that's in the bucket will have to be burned, but is it going to be truma or not? Is that considered to be truma if it becomes tameh? Paskin to Tanakama, that shalom, you understand now, you're beginning to see the parallel. Shalom is only for physical breakage. Shalom is not for tumah. If it's physically whole and it becomes tameh on the way up, it's still considered to be tumah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, af min hatumah. No, that if it becomes tameh, it's also having fulfilled his tanai. And if it becomes tameh, it's also not considered to be tumah. That shalom, shalem, includes also the absence of tumah, not just the absence of breakage, but the absence of tumah. Azay zok the Mishnah tzamachleikis tanoim what the status. Now let's go back to the bottom right. Zok Rabbi Bamel. Hine mishnosenu hizu b'maseches tful yom perik dalad Mishnah zayin. Quotes the Mishnah at kan loshana Mishnah. Umuvur mizeh, left side. The Tanakam of Rab Shimon Pligi behol ra'as mila shalom. What does the word shalom mean? When I say shalom, what does this include? The Latanakam of shalom eno mamayet ela nishbar o nishbach. The achisaren hu beguf hatruma. That there's something wrong with it. It's gone. It's broken. It's spilled. Avolin nitmes. But if it becomes tame, the ein achisaren be'etzem hatruma. Rak be'echus shalom mikri, it's only the quality. The quality is now adversely affected, not the physicality. The physicality is still intact. That's not considered a problem. That's what the Tanakhama says. Umemele benidon didan, she'omar she'yovo b'no b'shalom, eno memayit rakim ba'chole o balmum, da'avi kamo nishba o nishbach. If there's a physical problem, that precludes the it being considered to be shalom. Avo masha nase chote benafsho shenosa nachria or nachris, it's hard to read, kiv nishar shalem begufo avi kamo nitme satruma demikre shalem l'tanakama. According to the Tanakama, still considered to be shalom. However, l'rab shimin mila shalom emayit gam tuma av she'en chisaron nikr beguf hatruma. Looks exactly the same way. The bucket is full, like the bucket was always full. Rag be'echusa, still, gam kein lo havei shalom. V'im kein l'didei l'shitas Reb Shimon in the Mishnah in Tevul Yoyim. Ule Reb Shimon mila shalom amayit gam tuma, av she'en chisor nikr. Therefore, v'im kein l'didei gam hocha lo mikri shebo b'shalom kiven shenitma b'chet. Nusa halacha, what do we do? So the halacha, he quotes the Rambam Paskins in Hilchos Trumas. Turn to the top of page 2. The top of page 2, Paskin to Rambam. In Hilchos Trumas, Perek Dalat Halacha Yudches, HaToreim Bor Shel Yayin, the middle of the first section on page 2. HaToreim Bor Shel Yayin, V'amar HaRezu Trumal Menas Shatale Shin Lamed Mem. That's the operative word that we're working with. Tzorech shetala b'shalei min ha-shever u-min ha-shficha avalo min ha-tumah. Only if it's broken. Only if it spills. But not if it becomes tame. That's still a din in shalem. The absence of shalem is a din in the physical. It's not a din in the metaphysical. V'im nishbara, then, eino midamas. Otherwise, if it's nishbara, it's midamas. But if it's... otherwise, it's not midamas. Okay. So Rabbi Baumel now tries to figure out, and he ultimately suggests that maybe it's actually a machlekes rishonim. He quotes from some achreinim who learn pshat and achuvas harosh, that the Rosh argues with the Rambam. The Rambam paskins like the Tanakama. It would appear, according to some, that the Rosh paskins like Reb Shimon. So now we have a machlekes paiskim following the machlekes tanoim. But even as another really very sharp raya that he tries to bring, look in the middle of page 2. There's a pasuk, a beferish, a pasuk in the Torah. Vayidei Yaakov neder lemor in Pashas Vayetze, when Yaakov is on the move and he falls asleep, he leaves his parental home and he goes to learn, and then he goes looking to find a new life for himself. Vayidei Yaakov neder lemor at the beginning of Vayetze, middle of page 2. Mie lekimi modi yushmarani b'derech hazer sharanochi holech v'shafti v'shalom. He makes a neder that he's going to be shav b'shalom. What does he mean when he says b'shalom? Does he mean that he's not going to have an injury? Look at Rashi. B'shalom shalom min hachet shlo elmad midarchei lovan. With l'chayra, says Rabbi Baum, will appear from Rashi like Reb Shimon, that shalom is not just a din in the physical, but it's also a din in the metaphysical posture. You don't want to be an avarian. If you're an avarian, that's not called shalom. So that's mamash atzushtel l'cha'ira to the situation at hand, where the guy comes back mamish nebuch intermarried. That's not called shalom. And he tries to be medayik, and he tries to dingzach and be machalik. It's a whole long, fascinating discussion. He concludes, bottom of page 2, this is the end of the tshuva, v'nachzor l'nidon didan. The Meha Omer Le'el Mavur, the Isha Naal Mechuyev L'Shalim HaMeya Dalar La Talmud Torah. He paskins that he has to give the 100, that his Amasla, his Taina, that he didn't mean, because I mean, this is called B'Shalim, comes back intermarried with a kid. So that doesn't compute, that he's still Mechuyev to pay. Mishum Da Halachi Tanakama, because we paskin like the Rambam paskins like the Tanakama. The Shalom Eino Memayit Rach Shvicha u'shvira avalotuma. V'hacha dami l'nitmes. And this soldier is like nitmes. And nitmes is not a stira to shalom. U'befrat d'yesh lomar. And he now concludes with an interesting insight. The kan odif mi truma she nitmes. The case of the soldier who comes back with a shiksa might even be better, might even be easier than the case of Truma Shenitmes. The Sham Kivin Shenitmes, Shuvain Lo Takana. Once Truma becomes Tame, it's over. It has to be burnt. There's no way you could salvage it. It's done. Lachain Sever Rab Shimon, the Lo Mikri Su Shalom. So it could be there. Rab Shimon would hold that since it is ultimately totally lost, so that's not considered Shalom. That's considered to be something that's terrible. Avalocha da afsha chota shenasa nochris. It's not the end of the story. But here, where he marries, he intermarries. Mikomokam hare yesh lo takana b'tshuva. V'sheyigai reno l'shem shamayim. V'alkein shapi mikri b'shalom. It's not, the story is not concluded. Maybe he'll do tshuva. Maybe she'll do tshuva. Maybe she'll convert. And maybe the kid will convert. So it could still work out. So maybe here, even Reb Shimon might be modeh that this is not considered to be a lack of shalom. And then he concludes by saying, v'zeh vadai d'beloshon b'nei odom tevas b'sholom ha'mechuven hi'bibriyas. Trust me, when the father said it, that my son comes home b'sholom, I'm going to give $100, atam garnish eingefallen, that he's going to worry about a shiksa. He meant what he meant. A father who's a parent whose kid goes to war, whatever that war is, he goes overseas. He wants him to come home healthy. So clearly that's what he meant. And therefore, Valkem Pasha Tubor, the Mechuyev L'Kayim Nidro, Asher Nodar Lehatalmator. Now, we're familiar with this notion of shalom, an individual, notion of shalom for individuals. That we walk around, you want to call it shlemus, you want to call it shalem, you want to call it shalom, that we should be in a good place. And for me, the simple parallel, and there's a lot more that could be said, but just to draw your attention at the top of page 3, is the nusach of Tfilas HaDerech. What is a nusach of Tfilas HaDerech that we recite whenever it is that we feel or we're told that we have to recite the Tfilas HaDerech? Yerotzim b'lfanecha Hashem Elokai, it's a gemara in brachas on Daf Chavtes, Shetolecheni l'shalom, v'satzideni l'shalom, v'sismecheni l'shalom. L'shalom, l'shalom, l'shalom. We constantly invoke shalom. That doesn't mean here, I don't want to go fight in a war. It means personal sense of shalom. I want to live in peace. It means I want to be safe. want to be secure, want to be blessed with well-being. That's what shleimus means when it comes to an individual, and we certainly understand it, we appreciate it, we value it, and we can to be important. Let's move now to the second level, which is Bein Adam Lachavero, the notion of Shalom, Bein Adam Lachavero. So there is a well-known Gemara Masachas Yevamis that says as follows, Samachay Amid Beis, at the bottom of page 3, V'amar Rabbi Eloi, Mishum Rabbi Lozab Rab Shimon, Mutar Lo La'adam L'shanos B'davar HaShalom. When it comes to maintaining Shalom, one is allowed L'shanos. It's a very odd formulation. Lishanos means to, how would you translate lishan? It doesn't say lishaker, doesn't say mamish lie. Lishanos, to change, to modify, to what?
Redirect.
Epis tzogen mamish lishaker losach nishzogen. So it's lishanos, but you'll see from the way the Gemara brings Rayas, you'll see whether it actually means more than lishanos. What's the raya? Mutar lo la'adam lishanos bidvar shalom shenemar avicha tziva vigomer ko somru liyosef ana sana vigomer. Turn to page 4. Top half of page 4 at the end of Parshas Vayechi. So Yaakov Avinu nifter and they went to bury him and now they're coming back to Egypt. Zokt the Pasuk in Perek Nun Pasuk Yudalid, the middle of the top of page 4. Vayoshev Yosef Mitzrayim, Ahu Ve'echa, V'chol Ha'olam Ito Likboris Aviv, Acharei Kavru Asav. Then now back. Vayirache Yosef Kimei Savihem. Vayiru is a not clear word. It could either mean they saw, but it probably doesn't mean they saw. It means probably they were afraid. Vayiru ache Yosef kimei saviem vayomru, we are in trouble because now we're nervous that Yosef, our brother, tzachayin gehalten, kol zman, the tata was alive, tzachayin gehalten, he didn't want to act out against us, because he knew what we did to him, but now that our father is shayna f'noyla bo'emes, they're nervous, lu yistemenu Yosef, v'hashev yoshev lanu es kol aror, shegomalnu also. And so therefore, what do they do? Vayitzavu al Yosef lemor, avicha tziva lifnei moso lemor. Your father commanded before he died the following. Kosomru li Yosef. This is what you should tell Yosef. Ana sa na pesha achecha v'chatosam ki rog imalucha. Please, you should have rachmanis and you should forgive the sin of your brothers even though they didn't behave properly to you. Ata sana lefesha avde elekei avicha, you should be meichel them. Vayef Yosef bedabra meilav, and Yosef cries. Zakti Gemara, Amar Rabbi La, Mishum Rabbi Lazar, Rab Shimon, Mutar lo la'adam lishanos bedavar hashalom. Question, did Yaakov ever tell this to the brothers before he died, that they should tell Yosef to have rachmanis on them and to be meichel them? So the Gemara would apparently assume that he did not say that. Rashi says, off and on this pasuk avicha tziva, Rashi says that it can't be that lo tziva Yaakov kein, shelo nechshad Yosef be'enav. Shelo nechshad Yosef be'enav. That Yaakov would never have said this, because it never would have occurred to Yaakov that there's a havamina that Yosef would take revenge. So it didn't need, like he wasn't cheshed him that they would ever act out after he would die. So it's not shayach. Of course he never said it. But the brother said, he did say it. Is this lishanos? Or is this ishtekala stronger than lishanos? They're not changing something. They're making it up. L'chayra, they're fabricating it. They're saying something that's lahaya v'lein nivra. The Ramban, it's not the Ramban on this pasuk, there's an earlier Ramban in Vayigash, the Ramban says, Yirali al derech hapshat, Yaakov never knew how Yosef came down to Mitzrayim. He never knew the story. Nobody ever told him. He thought that's a chazei gevalger. Then he ended up in Mitzrayim. And the Ramban says, the brothers weren't going to tell him. If they knew what was good for them, they weren't going to tell him. And Yosef ben Musaro Hatov, says the Ramban, also didn't want to tell him. He didn't want to say not nice about the brothers. So Ad Yoy Moisei, Zok the Ramban and Vayigash, Yaakov never knew the story. So if he never knew the story, so it's not Shayach that he ever would have told anybody to tell Yosef not to take revenge. Revenge for what? He had no idea what the backstory was. L'chayra would be mashma from Rashi, because Rashi says, Loi nechshad Yosef be'enav, that he did know. It's actually, I think, a machlek is Rashi in the Ramban, when we get to it, the end of Bereshis. So did Yaakov ever know or not? The Ramban says he never knew. L'chayra from Rashi, he did know. Because Rashi says, how do you know that Yaakov never said it? Because he wasn't choshed that Yosef would take revenge, which means that he knew the story. Maybe he would take revenge, but he never thought that he would take revenge. So that's the first statement in the Gemara. Mutar lo adam l'shanos b'divar ha-shalom. The shalom that we're talking here about is interpersonal relationships of shalom. We're not talking about ben adam la'atzmo. We're talking here ben adam la'chaveiro. Reb Nosson amar mitzvah. Reb Nosson says it's not just mutar, but it's a mitzvah. And he quotes a pasuk in Shmuel. And I want to skip over that. And then Debei Rabbi Yishmael Tana, famous Gemara. Debei Rabbi Yishmael Tana Gadol Hashalom She'af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shina Bo Demei Korah Ksiv Va'adoni Zokein Ulu B'Sof Ksiv Va'ani Zokanti. Now to the bottom of page 4, here's the story. And it's also not so pashit. If you look at the psukim, so the Malachim come to visit Avraham at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, and he runs around and he prepares for them, and they ask him in Pasuk Tes, Vayomre Lavai Sari Ishtecha, Vayomre Neba Ohel, and they give him a haftacha, you should know, Shova Shova Lecha Ka'ez Chaya, Pasuk Yud, Vinei Bein, Lesar Ishtecha, in a year from now, you're going to have a child. Vesar Shamas Pesacha Ohel, Vahu Achrov. She overhears it in the tent. Parenthesis, Avram Vesara Zekanim Boim Bayarim. By this time of this story, they're already old. They're long in years. Chodal lihiyos lisara orach kanoshim. The way of women have already passed her by. She's no longer of childbearing age. End of the parenthesis. Pasuk Yud Beis Vatitzchak Sara Bekir Balemar. Achare velosi hoisa li edna, which means Achare velosi hoisa li edna, am I going to be able to have pleasure to have a child in my current state? Ve Adoni Zokein. And Zola Gesundzein, my husband, Psashtikala on the old side. Was Hashem say, Vayomer Hashem el Avram, Lomo ze tzochak osora lemor ha'af umnom eleit, how is it possible for me to have a child, va'ani zakanti, I am old. So what did the Gemara say? Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana Gadol HaShalom, She'af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shino Bo, Shino Bo, again this is Shino, Debei Korek Siv, she said, how can I have a child? He's old. And Hashem said, she said, how can I have a child? I'm old. He was Mishana for the sake of Shalom. He didn't want to tell Avram that she blamed him. It's not so simple. Rashi there says on the Pasuk of Aniza Kanti, Shina HaKosav Mipnei HaShalom, because she, after all, said, Va'adoni Zakein. But if you look at the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra and other Mephorshim, they say it's not so Pashit, because she actually said both. She said, I'm old, and he's old. And what did Hashem do? What is the Shina here? Is he didn't tell the whole story, he only told half the story. It's different than the first case. In the first case with Yosef and the brothers, but here, it's choosing not to say everything, but what he said, what Hashem said was true, because after all, she also blamed herself. But Al Kapana, we see from this Gemara, the principle of Mutter Lashanos or Mitzvah Lashanos Mipnei HaShalom. Now, this requires a very sensitive understanding, halacha lemaisa, because one can concoct a scenario where almost everything is Mipnei HaShalom, and it can't be that therefore you're allowed to lie or be Mishana, however you want to translate it, Mipnei HaShalom. You know, somebody's hanging out late at night doing something to be doing, they come home and the wife says, where were you? He says, I was in the Beis Medrash. So I'm allowed to say that because Mutter Lashanos, Mipnei HaShalom, it's Shalom Bayis. At some point, it's a bit much. You have to be careful. You have to be careful, Lemaisa, in trying to be able to practically apply this principle. But I do want to apply it for you in a different Gemara. Gemara on page 5, actually a very, very famous Gemara. It's one of the most famous Gemaras. Anybody goes to a chasana knows this Gemara, but it's not a Pashita Gemara, and it's a Gemara that is worth thinking about. Next time you go to a chasana, you'll varf a few achronim, so you'll show that you're really holding. I tell my students at yeshiva when I teach this that I teach this in Stern College, so you know they should be zeicha to go to a wedding where there's actually mixed seating, when they can actually talk to a boy at a wedding would be nice. And I tell them, you know, this song that they're singing, you know, it's actually there's a Beishmuel and there's a Taz. The Taz says, and they should, you know, it'll be a conversation starter. You'll see what I mean. You'll see what I mean. Here's the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Ksubis Tezayin Amid Beis, Ketzer Meraktim Lefnei Akala. You all know this Gemara. You know the second part of the Gemara. You don't know the first part of the Gemara. Smachlegs Beishamayim Beis Hillel. Ketzer Meraktim Lefnei Akala, Beishamay Omrim, Yud Zayin Amid Aleph, top of page 5, Kala Kimos Shehi. Kala Kimos Shehi, Zot Rashi, Lefi Yofia Vachashivusa Mikalsenosa. The way the Ritva formulates the Rashi, if you look at the bottom, the losagi shelo yeheba shum davar noa. Ep is something is nice. So you focus on the nice aspect of her, and that's what you highlight. Kesa Maglafne Akala, eyes, she has such beautiful eyes, she has just beautiful eyes. And that's what you do as Azot. Beishamai lefishi tas rashi. Look at Tosfos. Kala kamoshe hivim yesh ba mum. Yishtuku velo yishabchuha. Could you imagine? Come to a chasana. Ketzer meraktim, ketzer meraktim. Garnished. It's a nidavas tzeredin. The first pshat in Tosfos. It's going to get better. Wait. Im yesh bo mum yishtugu v'lo yishabchu. Inami zokt toisvis yishadavar no sheyesh bo kungo be'ineho o biyodeho im hem yafos. Okay, very nice. That's Beis Shammai's opinion. U Beis Hillel loim, right? Baruch Hashem, we paskin like Beis Hillel. Kalo no'o v'chasuda. Kalo no'o v'chasuda. Continue toisvis. U Beis Hillel loim yishabchu alagamre. You should say kala na'a v'chasuda. However you want to define na'a is, how would you define na'a? Pleasant. It's a shvacha, shvach. Kala na'a, pleasant, v'chasuda, chenivdik, chasuda. Not sure exactly how do you want to define. Look at Tosfos. U'beisil olami yishabchu legamri. You go all the way. V'chishemazkirin mashiyesh bo l'shvach, Mechlal, the Shah Lignai. Because if you're going to focus on this, then people are going to start being medayik. Oh, that's nice, but what about that and what about that? So you just say blanket statement, Kalan of the Chasuda. Frak the Gemara, Amr Lambes, Shamel Lebes Hillel. Let's say Nebuch, she's not beautiful. Haresha Isa, Chigeres Osuma, Omrim La, Kalan of the Chasuda, Vatora Omra, Midvar, Sheker Tircho. So let's say she's not. So how can you say Kalanova Chasuda if she's not Kalanova Chasuda? Amalam Beis Hillel Beis Shammai LeDivreichem. And LeDivreichem Misha lokach mekach ra min hashuk, yishabchenu be'enov, o yiganenu be'enov. Hevi omer, yishabchenu be'enov. So somebody comes from the shuk, the Rashash in the back of the Gemara says it's dafka from the shuk. What is the defining characteristic of you abide in the shuk? If you abide in the shuk, there's no return policy. Right? If you abide in Lord and Taylor, there's a return. Or you go to Nordstrom, there's a return policy. The shuk, no return policy. So in the case of where there's a no return policy, you come home, somebody comes home with something, and it's a mekachra. You take a look at it, mamish gever finster in the egen, and they think it's mamish gevaldig. So what are you going to do, says Beis Hillel? What are you going to do? Shabchenu be'enov, you're going to end up. Have you ever shabchenu be'enov? Of course you're going to say it's nice. He noticed he doesn't answer the question. The question is, what about midvar sheker? Tirchuk. So all the achronim go address this issue. And the two answers that they give are actually very beautiful answers. First of all, kala nova chasuda, why are we so we're so mituma from Western culture that we think it would be something with physical. They say it's a taz, it's a marsha. The marsha is noa b'maaseha. Kala noa b'maaseha. Why are you so obsessed about looks? Kala noa v'chasuda, it's not a problem. Noa b'maaseha. And then the taz also says, be'enei hachasan shelo, which I think is so beautiful. She is the most beautiful thing in the world to the chassan on the night of their chassan. So this is not an objective assessment. The ene'a chassan shalom, she is not a chassuda, 100%. It's not even a question. There's a shina megubetzes here that I'm embarrassed to, I'm going to read it, but it's really striking. He has a different shot in Beis Shammai. Then I want to get to the Ritva. Ketzad meraktim, the shita megubetzes, Perish. What does it mean, Ketzad Meraktim, by the way? It doesn't mean what move do you make, what dance. It means Ma Omrim Befoneh. Rashi says, what do you say when you're dancing? Zokta Shita Mekubetzes, in the middle of page 5, Ketzad Meraktim, Perish. Ma Hayu Omrim Bishvacha Kishim Meraktim Lefoneh. Kala Kamosha, he listened to this, it's Mamish. Perish. Im Na'a Omer Na'a. V'im Ka'ura. Omer Ka'ura. If she's pretty, you say she's pretty. If she's, you say it. I mean, could you imagine? You go to a chasana. She's so ugly. It's one of the most astounding commentaries. And it means, what does kalakamashi mean? It means, I understand what he means. It means you say it like it is. That's what kalakamashi is. Okay. But the Ritva is our Ritva. The Ritva at the bottom says, how do you deal with the issue of truth-telling? So the Ritva says, Yishabchenu b'fanav v'yuganenu, b'fanav perish, t'chol shehu, the bottom of page 5, t'chol shehu mipnei darkei shalom, ein bo mishum midvar sheker tirchak. It's darkei shalom. What could be a greater shalom than a chasana and a kala on the night of the chasana? There's no problem of midvar sheker tirchak. You could say, kalano v'chasuda, thief tire, 100%, it's not a problem. Again, before we leave this part of the presentation, it still needs a lot of thought to figure out what this heter actually is, lemaisa. This is for sure not some kind of a blanket statement. Famous Rambam, top of page 6, at the end of Hilchos Chanukah. And the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Chanukah is also the Rambam at the end of Sefer Zmanim. The Rambam ends Sefer Zmanim, Mado Avo Zmanim. The Rambam ends Zmanim with Hilchos Chanukah, and this is the last Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah, which means it's the last Rambam in Sefer Zmanim. The Rambam ends every one of the 14 Sfarim in the Mishnah Torah with a poetic flourish. And it's actually very interesting. It's sort of un-Maimonidean. It's not like a normal, like the kind of Rambams that we break our heads on. He quotes psukim, quotes ideas. He wraps it up in a poetic, very nice way. Last halacha, perek dalad, halacha yedalad, hayu lefanav ner beiso v'ner chanukah, o ner beiso v'kiddush hayom, ner beiso kodem, when it comes to the ner bias for Shabbos, ner beiso Kodem, it takes precedence over Ner Chanukah, it takes precedence over Kiddush Hayom. It also needs an explanation, Mishum Shalom Beso. Sharei Hashem Nimchak Lasos Shalom Bein Ish Le'il Godol HaShalom Shekol HaTorah Nitno Lasos Shalom Ba'olam Shenemar Derecheha Darchei Noam V'chol Nisivoseha Shalom. I want to move now to the larger community, and I came across a very interesting Rabbeinu Yonah in the Igeres HaTshuva. The Rush there's a Kabbalah from the Rush. We have the Tzava'ah of Rabbi Yehuda ben HaRush. The Rush had a son. The most famous son of the Rush was the Bala Turim. He also had a son, Rabbi Yehuda ben HaRush. We have Shailo Suchuvis, Rabbi Yehuda ben HaRush. That's the name of the Sefer, Rabbi Yehuda ben HaRush. We also have from him, we have a Tzava'ah, and in that Tzava'ah, Rabbi Yehuda ben HaRush tells us that his father told him that during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva Dafka, and leading up to the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, you should read the Igeres HaTshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah. So, looking at the Igeres HaTshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah, and I found something that never hit me before. In Yom Bei's Klal Gimel, the bottom half of page 6, he talks here about the greatness of Shalom. I could construct a whole shiur around the sources that he brings. Chayv Adam Lidrosh Tov La'amo L'chaveiro B'chol Advarim Shehu Ov V'dorish Tov L'nafsho V'yavtel Reicha Kamocha Omer Razal Shokul HaSholom Keneged HaKol Alkein in Simin Gimel on the Omrim B'tfila Oseh Sholom U'bareyas HaKol U'tfila Satzibur Nishma'as Kishehem B'Sholom, which is actually very important. Shouldn't be a machlekes in a shul, because if you want the Tfilah Satzibur to be Nishmas, it has to be B'Sholom. And then in Simen Zayin, or Sifkaten Zayin, he says something fascinating. V'chayovim Yisrael livror anoshim sheyatilu shalom benish le'ishtodom l'chaveiro v'sheyihyeh koach biyodom lokof u'lahachriach b'nei odom al ha-shalom. That every community should have a shalom committee. So you have committees in a shul. So you have to have a shalom committee. The shalom committee need to be chosen. It's their job to make sure that there's shalom. V'sheyiyeh koyach b'yadam lokof. They force people to be b'shalom. There's a kind of an irony here. You use kfiyah to maintain shalom. V'yihiyu ches osam haburuim gavre b'dichu. They should be happy guys. They should be smiling people. V'anashim smeichim sheyodim lefayis ularatzos b'nei adam ulahatil shalom v'aliyu kasonim v'rakzonim. He gives you the list of what you need. He gives you the job description. You have to find happy people in the shul. And every community should have a happy people, a happy committee. And it's a communal responsibility to make sure that people are happy. It's fascinating. Even if it means implementing it via less than happy means. Even if it's lakof kayach biyadam lakof alachriach al hashalom, that's how important it is. There's so much that could be said about this, but I want to choose one particular issue that I was thinking about already now for a long time. And Balaz, we call it breakaway minyanim. But for some reason, I'm gefallen that's what I want to focus on. We call it breakaway minyan. Now, breakaway minyan has a negative, has a pejorative connotation. Here we have, you have a shul, and then in this block, and on this block, and on this block, there's a breakaway minyan. But what happens if, Baruch Hashem, the shul is unbelievably full, and there's no more room in the shul, and now people are coming in and you want to have another shul? Is that called a breakaway minyan? It's not called a breakaway minyan. Not every shul, not every minyan that opens up is automatically no good because it happens to be another shul. It's a complicated issue. But I want to show you the power of shalom, particularly in this context. And it starts with the tshuva of the Rivash. So we know that there were many communities that allowed this. I know a little bit more than less about the 18th century. So in the 18th century, we have a tshuva of the Knesset Yecheskel, who was Rabbi Yecheskel Katzen Ellenbogen, who was a rabbi in Altona and Hamburg and Wandsbek. He was nifter in 1749. Knesset Yecheskel has a long tshuva. It's perfectly fine. to have different minyanim in different places. And he quotes this Rivash. We know that Rav Moshe Chajiz, who was a very chashev yid, when he came to Hamburg, they let him have his own minyan. We know that when Rabbi Yaakov Emden moved into Altona in Hamburg, he asked to have his own minyan. They let him have his own minyan. There's a long history of this, but it's not so simple. Let's take a look at the Rivash. The Rivash at the top of page 7. Sha'alta, kohol yesh lohem beis hakneses bi'iram. Va'ashir echad min ha'ir kana sham mekomos yeshiva harbe bezol. Va'achar kach nisyakru ha'mekomos b'sibaso. So there was one shul in the city, and a rich person bought up many of the seats. So the seats were owned. The seats generally were owned, and they were given by Yerusha from generation to generation. But this person bought up many, many seats. He bought them cheap. And then they became obviously more expensive because he was hoarding a whole bunch of seats, and there were less seats to go around, so the amount of money for the seats went up. The Kivin Shalah Hashar, now that they're more expensive, Helos Chirusa. Now he's charging more rent because now they're more desirable because there are fewer around. Acha Naso Gochar Leva Sorchim Lavola Besakneses, Leoker Schira Samakomos, until people didn't want to come to shul anymore. They stopped coming to shul because it was too expensive for them. Vakol Rotsu Lahosif Makomos Bebesakneses. So they wanted to add seats. So in the aisles, they wanted to add seats. There was a little section in the back where people walked in that was empty. They wanted to put seats wherever they could put seats. And they wanted to sell them. They could also make money on it. So this way people would have way to daven, and there would be extra income for the community. But he said, no, you're not allowed to do that. But Omro, ki because now it's going to take longer to get to his seats, because you're going to have to step on three people to walk around till you come to his seat, and it's going to be a tircha, it's not going to be pleasant. Even if it's possible to get to his seats, but it's going to be more difficult to get to his seats. So can he stop the community from adding more seats? The whole tshuva, it's a whole chayshemishba tshuva. It's a tshuva about property rights. To what extent do the property rights of this usher, how far do they extend to stop the community from adding seats to the shul? You look at the bottom, and the Rama quotes this Rivash in Hilchas Shutfim Bekarka. It's a Choshen Mishpat issue. But the Rivash says at the end, but there's another way out. And that is that these people who are having trouble coming to shul, and they're having difficulty coming to shul because it's too expensive, they'll start their own shul, they'll start their own minyan. And that's okay. And it's fine for them to do that, because you're not allowed to stop somebody from doing a mitzvah. And it's one of the 24 reasons why you're menaden es ha'adam. And the Rambam on the left side in the middle of page 7 says, number 18, ha'ma'akev es ha'rabim ilasos mitzvah. So if they want to do a mitzvah to go to start a minyan, then they're allowed to start their own minyan. So you see that there's a Rivash that says that you're benidui if you're not going to let somebody start a minyan. I want to conclude with the tshuva of the Netziv on the top of page 8. And we'll stop here with this tshuva. This is really a very fascinating tshuva. So the Netziv, 19th century, he has a tshuva from Tafresh Lamed Ches, which is 1878. And he is very upset about somebody who wants to have his own minyan. And I'll just show you a few little snippets. Person sends him a letter, and he says, I have my own minyan in the house, and people want to stop me, but I'm worried about the nidui of the Rivash. The Rivash says that you can't stop anybody, and if I don't let people come to my minyan, then I'm going to be benidui. And the Netziv is very upset. The bottom line is, the Netziv says to him, you don't need this minyan, nobody needs this minyan, you are doing it only for your own kavod, you're doing it for your own desire, and therefore it's puzzle, and people would have a place to go to shul anyway. It's not like it's overflowing. The case of the rivash, it's overflowing. Here it's not overflowing. And he says, absolutely, it's prohibited for you from having this minyan in your house. And I'll just show you on the left-hand side, the top left-hand side, where he says, the third line, he says to this person, you brought a raya, you were medame this to Rabbi Lazar, she'asa iser v'shichrer avdo kedei le'espalel b'tzibur. Freed his Eved in order to make a minyan. So you see how important it is to make a minyan. He even did something inappropriate to free an Eved to make a minyan. Says in it's ve'ein shtus gadol mizeh. There's nothing as foolish as this, because there he needed a minyan. By you, they have a minyan. And therefore he's very upset, and he concludes, umasok, last two lines, umasok or hashalom, kenefesh, yedido, hashomer, shlomo, kvodo. So one of the issues to be thinking about in community context is the issue about multiplicity of minyanim. And as we know, there are multiple issues and contexts that we should be concerned about when it comes to maintaining communal peace. So for Chazara, the first issue was the issue of personal, individual, the Shaila, the father with the son, with the neder, with the soldier coming home b'shalom. He came home physically b'shalom, but he came home with a terrible, terrible situation. Is that called b'shalom or not? What's called b'shalom in personal shalom? Then the issue of interpersonal relationships of shalom, mutar l'shanos b'pnei ha-shalom, and the whole sugi about Avicha Tziva, the sugi about Avraham and Sarah, and Ketzer Meraklim Lefnei Akala, that the Ritva says that we're not worried, Beis Hillel is not worried about Midvar Sheker Tirchak. And then the third one about having community shalom, and that is making a concerted effort on the part of the community to have shalom, to appoint people to ensure that there's shalom in the community. And in particular, the issue that I was focusing on was making sure that there's a cohesiveness in a community, that people are not making Yom Tov for themselves in a way that is not in keeping with what is appropriate for the community. Sometimes it's necessary, sometimes it is appropriate. But where it's not appropriate, the greater concern, Barovam Hadras Melech, the greater concern is for there to be community cohesion and community unity. I wish all of you a wonderful rest of Chol HaMoed and a wonderful Yom Tov and a good Kibbutz Shtiyot.